Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. Let's begin by just dropping into silence together for a few mindful breaths. In this holy instant, we give to the Holy Spirit. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. With the love in your heart and the light in your minds coming together to our perception of the here and now. All right. Ready to dive right in. We are on page 220 of the Sparkle Edition. It's chapter 9, and the subheading is the inclusiveness of creation. So again, that's page 220 in the Sparkle Edition. In the original edition by the Course in Miracles Society, it would be on page 184, chapter 9, part 8, also called the inclusiveness of creation. The original edition. And if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's the very beginning of chapter 10. It's on page 181. And if you are following along in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, you're definitely going to be noticing some differences this evening. So you can follow along the best you can, as best you can, or just listen, or even follow on one of the online versions of the Sparkle edition as well. All right. Let's read the first paragraph, the inclusiveness of creation. Nothing beyond yourself can make you fearful or loving because nothing is beyond you. Time and eternity are both in your minds and will conflict until you perceive time solely as a means to regain eternity. You cannot do this as long as you believe that anything which happens to you is caused by factors outside yourself. You must learn that time is solely at your disposal and that nothing in the world can take this responsibility from you. You can violate God's laws in your imagination, but you cannot escape from them. They were established for your protection, and they are as inviolate as your safety. So before we started recording, we were talking about kitty cats, and I was sharing how I became allergic to cats after growing up with them for a long time. And we were talking about this, and I brought it back to what this line says in this middle part of this paragraph. You cannot do this as long as you believe that anything which happens to you is caused by factors outside of yourself. The temptation to place cause outside of our own mind is like the draw that a junkie has for drugs. It's so tempting. I mean, it's almost automatic to want to see cause outside of ourselves. So what was I doing but saying, you know, cats cause me to have a runny nose and itchy eyes, and certainly on this level of form it appears that way. But what the Course is teaching us is that, you know, there's nothing outside of our minds. Cause and effect are both in our mind, and as we become willing to own that, to acknowledge that, and give the belief, you know, that cats cause me an allergy, all I have to do is keep giving that belief to the Holy Spirit. It seems like a really big lesson to learn, and yet the Course is saying very clearly in this section that we can learn it. We absolutely can learn it.
Well, it's an unlearning, actually.
Yes, yes. Oh, thank you, Paula.
Because from the minute we came in to this planet, we're taught that there is certainly something outside of us.
Mm,
so
absolutely.
it really is unlearning that.
Yes, yes.
But you don't unlearn it alone, that's for sure.
No, you don't. And, you know, I
also,
too...
Because the Holy Spirit...
definitely. I want to. I often see this quote on Facebook, and I don't know who said it. I have it. I think it was Marianne Williamson, but it was a quote that love is what we're born with, fear is what we learn here, or something to that effect. Yeah. And I just, is that it? Does anybody know?
I think, yeah, that's Marianne Williamson.
Okay.
I think it's a return to love.
Okay. And just to highlight that that's not actually what the Course is saying. The Course is saying that we chose for fear before we were born. It's not that the world teaches us that fear and we were born pure and like a blank slate. We came here because we already chose for fear. That's why we came here. So it's a little bit, it's going a little bit deeper than that.
So the ego is already intact when we are born, correct?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And our job is to deactivate it in our curriculum?
Yes, you got it. Yep.
Okay.
I like how you said that, deactivate it in our curriculum. another way that I like saying it, thinking about it too, is transforming it. You know, it doesn't get obliterated or blown away. It becomes transformed. We loosen our grip on it because we realize that like it's nothing. It's we don't want it.
But
I like
how
that term,
could we choose for nothing before we were born?
That's where we have, and this is going to touch on it also in this section. It doesn't use this term in this section, but the Course does talk about how we have a great amnesia right now. We are before we are born. We don't remember that here, but we are mind and eternal and that love with a capital L, and there's a part of our mind that chose to turn away from that oneness to start dreaming this crazy dream down here. So it was a choice that was made in the formless level rather than this level of form.
Mm-hmm.
We are very
much
alive.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have come.
Exactly, exactly. We are very much alive before we're born and after we seemingly leave the body. We just don't remember that right now. I think people have glimpses. I think that's where people who are, you know, maybe very intuitive and have glimpses of the past and future, I feel like they have, you know, perhaps this ability to sort of see the ego script. But yeah, we're very much in existence before we're born and after we seemingly leave the body. Which is reassuring, isn't it?
Yes.
It's very reassuring. So do we, I've read that we keep kind of doing this over and over.
Until we allow all of our ego, and again, there's only one ego. We think of it as my ego and your ego, and that's the fragmentation of the one split off, you know, ego that we're calling it, this one split off aspect of love, of God. That sort of, you know, fragmented itself. So what was your question, Paula? I lost my train of thought. I was going somewhere. Do you remember what your comment just was?
That we keep coming back to this.
Oh,
we keep
thank you. So it's not, it does seem like it takes, you know, maybe many, many lifetimes, but there is ultimately an end to this when all of us choose to go back to love, to go back to God. So it's not that it goes on forever. It's the Course says, you know, it says that in multiple places too, just about, you know, the ending of a dream. And just as the, you know, if that arouses fear in anybody, and I'm only bringing that up because I recognize that I used to have a lot of fear about that in myself, the Course says that just as the separation occurred over millions of years, the, you know, the last judgment, which is, you know, the recognition that we are love will occur over a similarly long period of time, and it's the miracles that shorten and collapse time so it doesn't have to take as long. But again, those miracles only happen as we're ready because this is so gentle and there's nothing, we don't get whisked away. It doesn't, you know, come before we wholeheartedly want it.
And so time isn't linear, it's like holographic and it all happened at once.
Yes, yes, yes. I like how you said that, how it's holographic. It did all happen at once, and it's already over. we're just hanging on to something. The Course says that we're still sort of mentally reviewing that which has already passed. So we just don't, you know, there's again, part of our mind that's not ready to accept that it's been, that it's over, that it's been done already, and that we're already healed and already home. We are safe right now in this very moment.
That's very reassuring.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It feels like it's easy to forget that, but it's the more we can, you know, again, have that willingness to remember that. That's all we need, is just the willingness to remember the truth about ourselves, and then the more that comes back into our awareness.
And I really think the Holy Spirit is such a big part of that, you know, that remembering to remember.
Yes.
Remembering to turn to Him, because
the Holy Spirit is the way.
I had that experience this week. I was telling Carol about that earlier. I work with a girl that, oh my God, she's, you know, challenging. Mm-hmm. And I had to work with her on Friday, and I went in with a bad attitude, but with the remembrance, you know, to take a look at that with the Holy Spirit. And I had a shift. I'm telling you, I had the nicest time with her. The whole thing worked out beautifully. But
awesome.
It was just, I wanted to be at peace, is what it came down to. I didn't want that, that anxiety with her and that temperamental nonsense, you know, and the shift was just so automatic.
That's awesome. I love it. Miracles in action. Let's read the next paragraph, because actually everything that we've talked about thus far, we've totally summed up this whole section. So we'll see if we can get it under our belts tonight. God created nothing beside you, and nothing beside you exists, for you are part of Him. What except Him can exist? Nothing beyond Him can happen, because nothing except Him is real. Your creations add to Him as you do, but nothing is added that is different, because everything has always been. What can upset you except the ephemeral, and how can the ephemeral be real if you are God's only creation and He created you eternal? Your holy will establishes everything that happens to you. Every response you make to everything you perceive is up to you, because your will determines your perception of it. So God is everything. Everything is in God. There is only God, and we are part of God, and our extensions of God are very real also. This last sentence here, your holy will establishes everything. I'm sorry, last two sentences. Your holy will establishes everything that happens to you. Every response you make to everything you perceive is up to you. That sentence, your holy will establishes everything that happens to you. If you think about our holy will on the level of formlessness, that holy will knows that it's the same as God's will. And so everything that happens to us, again, we're talking in the level of formlessness. It's love. It's pure joy. It's pure peace. Here, you know, we're learning how to remember our holy will. And if we think about our will here, how it says your holy will establishes everything that happens to you, we, again, have that choice to direct our minds to either the Holy Spirit or to the ego. And so what happens to us is comes from which teacher we're following. We can be certain that if we're looking to the ego, the lesson is going to be painful. And if we're looking to the Holy Spirit, again, it's we're in this like dream script right now. If we're in the dream script, but we're looking to the Holy Spirit gives those different interpretations of what we go through, so we can use them on behalf of our waking up. So everything, the purpose of everything then becomes divine. So every response we make to everything we perceive is up to us, meaning we can choose in any given moment to give our perceptions, our belief to the Holy Spirit, or we can decide we know what's best, which can be so tempting sometimes.
Corinne?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the sentence, your creations add to him as you do, but nothing is added that is different because everything has always been?
That's, you know, that's a really good question. That's almost, to me, one of those, like, mind-bending statements that I feel like is really hard to grasp in this level of form, because if it's saying our creations add to him, but nothing can be added to him because he is everything and everything has always been, huh?
Yeah.
You know? So I kind of look at that, and I just sort of think about how, you know, we have, just as God extended and, you know, there we were in those extensions, we've continued that extension of God. And so, you know, in my limited mind, I then see, or in my, you know, however many dimensions, my limited dimensional mind sees that as like, well, then God must be like sort of expanding if it's, you know, extending that love outwards, but if everything has always been and, you know, nothing is added,
do you think that,
I think that sort of sums it up, like, huh? Oh, please go ahead, Tony.
Do you think it might be a reference to, like, co-creation with God? So
that's a,
like,
great, yeah.
I think,
wait,
Marianne,
say that again?
Like,
co-creation,
like,
with God.
Yeah, so she talks about, Marianne talks about in her prayers, may I be a conduit of your love and your purposes. So being a channel to co-create with God, but God is everything. So the only thing that's stopping that flow is our ego mind. So maybe that line refers to co-creation.
I think that's beautiful.
Okay. I think really just the different thing is drawing me a little bit. anyway, maybe also understanding the reference to ephemeral.
Where was, oh, that's the next sentence.
Yeah.
What can upset you except the ephemeral, and how can the ephemeral be real if you are God's only creation and he created you eternal? So how do you see those connecting, the ephemeral being the...
Well, I'm just trying to think of, like, in the context, I haven't used that word very much, so I'm just trying to...
It's things that can be changed.
Okay.
Like, mm-hmm. Things that that are not changeless, or that are changeless.
Things
that
don't last. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So things,
you know,
that are changeless cannot be different. So that's what I was looking for.
Right. And so if it is different, because, you know, if you look to this level of form, we see differences everywhere. And so this is saying that if it's, you can't add anything that's different. So this is all a dream.
Yeah, that was what I needed. Thank you. Thank
you. You know, in that experience with that woman that I work with, that's what I got. She is you.
Mm. Yes.
Right.
There's no
awesome
separation between, you're just seeing your own temperamental self in her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're seeing. It's not about her.
Yeah.
Yeah. That,
so that made it so much easier because I was being temperamental. And I see that in her. I mean, I'm projecting that out on her. I don't want to work with her. She's temperamental. No, I'm temperamental. But that was wonderful because I can forgive myself for that. You know, we're all under stress there. And we get temperamental when we're stressed out. So, again, the Holy Spirit is so powerful in that ability to help you to see in the middle of these situations, you know, the deeper issue.
Yes.
You know, you're
awesome.
Never upset for the reason you think.
Mhm. Mhm. Awesome.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for adding.
Thanks,
that.
Guys.
Really helpful. Next paragraph. God does not change his mind about you, for he is not uncertain of himself. And what he knows can be known, because he does not know only for himself. He created you for himself, but he gave you the power to create for yourself so you could be like him. That is why your will is holy. Can anything exceed the love of God? Can anything then exceed your will? Nothing can reach you from beyond it, because being in God, you encompass everything. Believe this, and you will realize how much is up to you. When anything threatens your peace of mind, ask yourself, has God changed his mind about me? Then accept his decision, for it is indeed changeless, and refuse to change your mind about yourself. God will never decide against you, or he would be deciding against himself. I love that question. Has God changed his mind about me? That to me is one of those low self-esteem busters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that whole section is highlighted in my book.
Awesome.
Because it's so good.
Yeah, it is. And what I said earlier about, you know, we can know our truth because God knows it. This was the sentence I think that I was thinking of. It's the second sentence that we read. And what he knows can be known, because he does not know only for himself. So we are absolutely capable of learning the lesson that we are love, because that's what God knows. And we are one with God.
Do you think that all of this, is discussing creation and miscreation and our will being God's will? Like whenever we're thinking along the lines of God and love, then we're extending. And then when we're deciding with the ego, we're miscreating.
Yeah, I think that's a really great way of thinking about it, that when we're thinking with the ego, we're sort of arresting that extension of love. We're blocking that extension of God. And so, yeah, and when we turn our thoughts over to the Holy Spirit, because again, you know, the Course is saying clearly that we don't remember how to think with God here. That's where we need the Holy Spirit. You know, when we're doing that absolutely is, I think it says elsewhere in here that when we start to know ourselves again, we extend that love, or when we extend that love, we start to know ourselves again. It says something to that effect. We might come across it. But yeah, I think that's a great way of looking at it, Tony. It's really helpful. Okay, next paragraph. The reason you do not know your creations is simply that you would decide against them as long as your minds are split, and to attack what you have created is impossible. But remember that it is as impossible for God. The law of creation is that you love your creations as yourself, because they are part of you. Everything that was created is therefore perfectly safe, because the laws of God protect it by his love. Any part of your mind that does not know this has banished itself from knowledge, because it has not met its conditions. And that would be the part of the mind that we most identify with now. We've banished this part of our mind from true knowing what we are, because again, we've decided to look away from that.
We've decided to be unloving.
Yes, absolutely. And limit love, you know, have conditional love, essentially, that love of the ego that shifts and changes. And this too, where it says the first sentence, the reason you do not know your creations, and again, think of creations as our, you know, extensions of love or extensions of God. I think love is the word we substituted for creations before.
Yes,
right.
I'll
read it with that
the
word.
Reason you do not know your love.
Is simply that you would decide against it as long as your mind is split. Again, with you know, the Course teaching that we have a split mind, that is our, I was going to just tie this back to the whole idea about seeing cause and effect as separate, about, you know, seeing causes outside of ourselves when, in fact, it all is in our mind, cause and effect. They're not split off. Any comments or questions so far? All right, let's read the next paragraph. Who could have done this but you? Recognize this gladly, for in this recognition lies the realization that your banishment is not of God and therefore does not exist. You are at home in God, dreaming of exile, but perfectly capable of awakening to reality. Is it your will to do so? You know from your own experience that what you see in dreams you think is real as long as you are asleep. Yet the instant you waken, you know that everything that seemed to happen did not happen at all. You do not think this mysterious, even though all the laws of what you awakened to were violated while you slept. Is it not possible that you merely shifted from one dream to another without really wakening? So that experience of when, you know, I know we've all, I'm sure, had that experience of having a bad dream or maybe even a good dream where, like, you're flying or something, you know, that doesn't happen in our waking state. You have a dream and you wake up and it's that, like, oh, that was just a dream. Like, it wasn't real. That's that same sort of experience that we'll have when we awaken from this dream that, you know, it was just a dream. So this is saying very clearly that we simply shift from one dream to another when we shift from our sleeping dreams to our waking dreams right now. But we're not actually really awakening. Any thoughts about that? Anything come up for anybody so far? I know I'm really struck by the second sentence in this paragraph. Recognize this gladly, for in this recognition lies the realization that your banishment is not of God and therefore does not exist. So that idea about how the Course teaches that, you know, we carry this unconscious guilt that we think God is so mad at us for, you know, turning our back on love, this clearly says that banishment is just imagined. It doesn't exist. It's not of God. There's nothing to be afraid of and nothing to feel guilty for.
Well, it kind of goes back to that previous paragraph there. The reason you do not know your love is simply that you would decide against love as long as your minds are split. So we decide against it.
Mm-hmm.
God has nothing to do with our mistaken decision.
Beautiful. That's right. Not guilty.
Yeah.
I think
it becomes kind of habitual almost, you know, that we in the dream state.
Mm-hmm. Corinne, the ego is our default position, right? Like the ego speaks first and the loudest. So we always
While we're in this dream state, what was the second part of what you just said? I feel like I started talking and didn't hear.
Oh, I mean that's like when we are unconscious and we are asleep to the truth of who we really are, mm-hmm. our minds go into the default of the ego.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. the ego seems to be, you know, I'm sure too we've all had those experiences of feeling like the ego is just way stronger than the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, we have that desire for peace and, you know, but it just seems sometimes like it's so hard. That's exactly with, you know, what you just said, that it's our default, and yet it's we don't realize how much of a strain it is that we're actually putting ourselves under by being so, you know, identified with the ego, that it's actually quite natural to listen to spirit. But again, going back to I think what we talked about last week, that we've used that enormous power of God to purposefully forget that God is who we are, that we're part of God. We'll read the next paragraph. Okay. Would you bother to reconcile what happened in conflicting dreams, or would you dismiss both together if you discovered that reality is in accord with neither? You do not remember being awake. That's our amnesia. When you hear the Holy Spirit, you merely feel better because loving seems possible to you, but you do not remember yet that it once was so. And it is in this remembering that you will know it can be so again. What is possible has not yet been accomplished. Yet what has once been is so now, if it is eternal. When you remember, you will know what you remember is eternal and therefore is now. So when we hear the Holy Spirit, says when you hear the Holy Spirit, you merely feel better because loving seems possible to you. Those miracles that we've all experienced, those, you know, those moments, those are like it's like the breath of fresh air, you know, coming up from like stale, muggy, musty air and suddenly getting like a really, you know, a lungful of like really crisp, clean, fresh air. It's that recognition that, you know, we can know that again. It's those what's the word I'm looking for? It's just those little moments that remind us that that's the truth of who we are.
I think this first line is so wonderful. Would you bother to reconcile what happened in conflicting dreams, or would you dismiss both together if you discover that reality is in accord with neither? Because that's basically what we do. In our waking dream, oh my God, it's so obvious.
Yeah.
We bother to reconcile what happened. We bother to do that. And
uh-huh,
that's what
sure
brings
do.
About all this confusion, doubt, fear, lack of confidence, all this crap, because we think too much.
Yeah, I came across it that the likes to study itself too. So when I first embarked on like the spiritual path, I was buying a bunch of self-help books, and I think the ego seeped into that even,
mm-hmm.
where like I was like studying the ego.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like I don't want anything to do with the ego. But yeah, it creeps its way into everything.
Yeah, uh-huh. Totally. Ego it likes to analyze itself.
And it actually says in the course somewhere that it approves, it smiles and approves, or it says some kind of, you know, language like that. Like, you know, I picture this ego being like, yeah, go ahead, study me all you want.
Study me, yeah. So yeah, I stopped buying self-help books.
It's like, yeah, I'm so great, I'm so awesome.
Oh, that's so funny. I love too, just in that same sticking with, you know, that same idea, just how that means, you know, with waking up, we don't need to follow fear, like the Course says, through all of its loopy, circuitous routes in order to wake up. It's just like Paula just highlighted with that first sentence. Would you bother to reconcile what happened in conflicting dreams, or would you dismiss both together if you discovered that reality is in accord with neither? So rather than figuring out the fear and, you know, what does it mean and why did this happen and what do I do? And, you know, really, rather than problem solving apart from the Holy Spirit, it's about just giving it all to the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit deal with it and undo it.
What you just said, Corinne, is really huge, because if you step back for a moment and just think about how much we do that in the dream, how much credibility we give to studying fear, you know, and like looking at our wars and looking at illness and all of that stuff. It's like,
yeah,
we're like, oh, we love the drama.
Yeah,
oh.
It's it. That's it. That's it.
You know.
That's like, it.
Give me some more of that heroin.
Gotta have the drama.
Yeah.
It's just the same old, though. It really does keep the body identity going. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
You know, it really keeps Paul at the forefront. I mean, I just see this. When I don't step back and let him lead the way, I mess up every time. But I keep doing it, you know. But again, Corinne, you're always so, I always think about you. I think about you throughout the day because you will always say, you are where you are. You know,
right. Be where
you never make anything of it. You don't make it real, and it's wonderful.
We the Course says that again. We with that, you know, fragmenting off and splitting off, and you know, coming up with this wild, elaborate, dreamy script of the ego. We have to go through, and this is what we're doing as Course students, is just going through our lessons and taking what we go through to the Holy Spirit, because that's the ascent up back into peace. It's like we spiral down into the descent into fear, and now, you know, with the Course being our path, we ascend by not knowing what's best, not deciding what anything is for, simply turning it over to the Holy Spirit. So each mistaken thought that we had in that descent into fear, we're undoing. That's what our lessons are. That's like, you know, peeling away the layers of the onion. Everything that, you know, comes up is coming up as an opportunity to heal. So if we can allow ourselves to be where we're at, and not feel like we have to be further along or, you know, judging ourselves that we're not getting it right. If we can just allow ourselves to be exactly where we're at and just taking where we're at to the Holy Spirit, then, you know, that we can only be where we're at. We're on the right path. Our success is guaranteed.
Sometimes throughout the day, you know, I'll see Paula going down that path. And it's I literally just watch it. You know, I just kind of stand out back and watch myself do it. And there's something, you know, I'm not so afraid of it anymore.
Oh, that's huge. That is so huge. Developing that trust to be able to go through, you know, our lessons and know that there's really nothing to be afraid of, that whatever seemingly presents itself, again, it's just another opportunity to take that.
It really is, because the Holy Spirit will always shift us out of it.
It's constant.
It's just that little bit of willingness to say, oh, God, help me. You know,
yes.
I'm doing it again. Here I go.
Yeah, that happened this day. I was at a party today, and I was with one of my childhood friends and a bunch of her friends, and some people that I've known for at least 12 years, and her I've known for over 15 years, and I noticed that I was going into the same exact story, and I caught myself because I'm like, oh my God, it's like 17 years later, and I'm still saying the same exact story. And I like caught it because it was like so obvious that I'd seen things change
on the outside of me with the people around me, and yet the story, it was became so obvious that it was my, what was in my mind, because I couldn't, it was like, you were saying the story when, you know, the circumstances were different, when people were in a different place, and now you're still saying the same thing. And I stopped and I was like, okay, so like, let me look at the thoughts that I'm saying. And I realized that I needed to, like, I didn't have a thought to like that was different. Like, if that makes sense. Like, I had all like the ego thoughts about it, but it was like it finally clicked that like I needed a thought that was more productive than what I was thinking. And I just like stopped, and in that pausing moment where I was just like, okay, what would be a different thought then? I instantly then had this thought come in that said, well, God's got me too. And it was like everything just kind of shifted in that moment, and I just felt so good and so relieved, because I, the thoughts were keeping me separate from everyone, that they had something that I didn't. And as soon as I just allowed the space, it just came in, God's got me too. And then I noticed as time went on, it kind of course, I guess I had like that ego backlash, because this is such a longstanding pattern. It was like, oh, wait a second, now you're going to, you know, try to shift out of it. Like, let's come on stronger. But I guess I have to, I'm trying to just look back at that moment and see that that's progress, even though there's a part of me that wants to be so much farther.
Yeah. It doesn't even matter, you know?
Yeah. The fact that you notice it is a huge, huge thing.
Yeah.
The fact that, you notice that you're spiraling into, like, ego chatter.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So, A plus.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome, Tony. A plus.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, the ego is like that roommate that will not move out. So the fact that you can, like, discern between the spirit and the ego is great.
That is. I totally agree.
It is amazing. And I even noticed then when it was coming back again, there was another voice that was like, why are you being so mean to yourself? And I was like, oh, my God, like, those thoughts are mean. And, like, I just always taken it as fact. So the fact that I saw it was mean, I think, is with progress, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's
really
awesome.
Cool.
It is really cool. And, I mean, just the fact that in that situation, too, you even were able to hold that space to let that, you know, to let another voice come in, that's huge. And even if you didn't remember then, but you thought about it afterwards, you know, it doesn't matter. It's still just an opportunity again to hand it over and to ask for the miracle instead.
I think it always comes down to not guilty. You're not guilty of anything. No matter what these thoughts are, no matter what's going through your head, no matter what, no matter how we identify with the ego in any situation, it's fine. It's really, we are not guilty. God loves us. Just exactly the way we are, exactly where we are. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, when I'm able to remember, which is not all the time, but I'm telling you, I'm
saying the same thing.
Yeah, when I'm able to remember, though, that the ego doesn't exist, like, in spirit's eyes, it doesn't even exist. So even the thoughts that you're having that you identify with the ego, they don't even register in terms of spirit. So that always really helps me when I'm able to remember that. It's like, I might have think that I'm thinking these egoic thoughts, but really, in heaven's eyes, it's not...
Yeah.
They're not even there. It's not even there. It doesn't exist.
It's when you're not thinking with God, you're not
thinking
at
all.
You're not even thinking. So how beautiful is that?
Yeah.
You're just not thinking.
I love that. I love that. I love it. Deidre, thank you for adding that, because the course, I was just thinking of a part that says that our mind, and this is again our unconscious mind, when we're obsessing or, you know, caught in the fear thoughts or the judgmental thoughts, the ego thoughts, our mind is actually drawing a blank. So we're actually thinking nothing. So that's also, like you said just now, it's a really powerful opportunity to, again, step back, having that recognition that we're actually thinking nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
I think that's an interesting, it's like so interesting because I'm trying to, like, I can kind of feel how that can, you know, how there's kind of this, like, your thoughts create your reality, or, you know, this whole sort of pressure to, like, change your beliefs. And, like, if you don't change your beliefs, then it's like you're creating, you know, what you don't want. And I find that the more that I have studied that and learned that, that at some level it's very guilt-inducing. And it's very painful when you are kind of, when you're aware of a thought and you've wanted to change it for so long, but you still think it. And it's, I had a friend of mine who's been studying the course along with me, and she said to me something along the lines of one night, you know, I believe that you can have that belief that would be considered negative, and you can still, you know, have, you know, that love and peace, you know, come through, like, regardless. And there was something in the way she said it that it was such a relief, because it just was so course-esque, because it was like I could forgive myself for even having that belief and not thinking that I was, like, destined for this, like, painful reality because I thought this thing.
Well, just as you're talking, it makes me think of, like, manifestation and experiences that I've had where I've manifested something in my life that I really, 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 you know, had a strong desire to manifest, but I didn't have perfect faith the entire time. Like, I experienced doubts along the way and things like that, but I still manifested. So I don't believe that the universe sits there and is like, oh, you had a negative thought, Council, you know.
Oh, you're in trouble now.
If I could
that's it for you.
Yeah.
You know, that's so cool, because I was talking to my daughter today, who's away at school, and she had gone through a class to become an RA, and she was very, very clear. She's an incredible manifester. She really is. And she was very clear that she was going to get this position offered to her. And she was in the office, and I guess they were going in one by one. And she said, Mom, I just knew it. I just knew I was going to get this position. And then the person before her came out, and they didn't get a position. And she said, Mom, for a minute there, I was like, oh. But then she said, I shifted right back to the, I'm getting this. And, you know, it, like Deidre, you were saying, it was like this, you know, little thought, and then it leaves.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that reminded me of what she was sharing today, because, you know, those little thoughts do come up. But when you have a really clear, I don't know, line of, you know, feeling of, yeah, this is the way it's coming, you know, that outweighs the bumps, the little blips.
Yeah, that's been my experience.
Yeah.
I'm finding it hard when the thoughts are not little, if you know what I mean, like when they feel larger and I'm aware that they are larger than the connection. And there's a lot of guilt, I think, that I'm still putting on myself for that. If that makes sense. Like, I can see kind of where I'm at in the process, and I can see how I can manifest in so many ways, but, like, there's certain area where it's just still very painful. The thoughts are just very painful still, and I can see that there's a fear of creating what it is that I want, because I'm scared of it.
Can I offer one thing for you? Because I've had the experience, like, an exact experience that you're describing, where you feel like obsessive thoughts are, you know, bigger than, like, almost like you don't have control over what's happening. It's almost like it becomes bigger than you. And it's, for me, like, I've been able to recognize within myself that it actually the resistance that I'm experiencing has nothing to do with my thoughts. It's more that on some level, exactly what you said, I'm afraid of getting what I want.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the thoughts at all. It's almost like your ego tries to get in there and is like, it's self-sabotaging your desire before you've even allowed yourself to daydream about it. You're sort of like afraid of it. So it's that. So instead of like going into the fear, what I have found is really helpful for me is like almost either journaling or interviewing myself and looking at like, okay, so I have a fear about this. What is underneath the fear? What is the belief that I have that's underneath the fear? Like, what is coming up that I am afraid of having X, Y, Z, whatever it is? Like, what is underneath that?
Yeah, it's so funny that you're saying that. That was exactly that was my exact thought process, like, before I got on this call, was like, all of a sudden that thought process started. Like, what is it really? Like, you're afraid of it. But then I noticed that I distracted from doing it. So thank you for that, because that's a little, that's kind of like a message to me that, okay, here it is again.
Don't
try that out.
Awesome. Thank you. Did you want to finish?
Oh, no, I think you're welcome. That's it.
Okay. I didn't want to interrupt you. I just wanted to add two things, and then we'll read the last paragraph. And actually, just to respond to what you just said, Jen, about, you know, what is it really? That asking that question is great, and looking at whatever comes up with the Holy Spirit is the way, you know, to truly allow it to be undone. Because as you started out by saying, you know, this idea that, you know, our thoughts create our reality, and feeling that, like, you know, you have to change your belief, and how you said that that's guilt-inducing, mm-hmm. It 100% is guilt-inducing, because that's the spiritual ego. That's the ego getting in there again and thinking that it has to fix itself, mm-hmm. that it has to, you know, not have that negative thought, and that it has to be spiritual. So we're going to feel guilt because we're simply identifying, you know, with the ego again. So that's where, again, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to, you know, be there to give our perceptions to have that miracle come instead. So I just wanted to add that there.
Thank you.
Let's read the last paragraph since we're almost at the top of the hour. You will remember everything the instant you desire it wholly. For if to desire wholly is to create, you will have willed away the separation, returning your mind simultaneously to your Creator and your creations. Knowing them, you will have no wish to sleep, but only the will to waken and be glad. Dreams will be impossible because you will want only truth, and being at last your will, it will be yours. Beautiful. So all we need to truly awaken is that desire to want it. We have to want it. And I think we all do, or we wouldn't be here. I know we all do, I should say. We have about a minute or so left. Anybody else want to share anything?
Well, you know what occurred to me? I've been, you know, the workbook lessons. Because on Friday, Friday's workbook lesson was forgiveness is all I want. Mm-hmm. That's not the exact wording of it, but that was basically what it was saying. Lesson 122.
Forgiveness offers everything I want, I think.
Is forgiveness that... offers everything I want. So when you start the day with that idea, that's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't start the day with that idea, you don't even really know what you want.
Right.
But I did know I wanted to be peaceful. I really wanted peace. That made so that workbook lesson just made so much sense to me. So I think that's where, you know, the willingness for that to turn to the Holy Spirit was almost automatic, because I set set the intention from the beginning of the day through that workbook lesson. So I'm just saying that because they really are so powerful.
Oh, they are. I posted something recently about that on Facebook. I think maybe I even just shared an image of that lesson. And I love thinking of forgiveness, you know, as challenging situations are forgiving to the Holy Spirit. So if you think about forgiveness as being for the giving to the Holy Spirit, giving to the Holy Spirit offers everything I want. That's, you know, you can't go
wrong.
There
you go.
That's where the peace comes from.
Mm. That's kind of good.
Thank you. Yeah,
and I think, too, just to add to that, Corinne, really part of it is not being willing to not change anything. Like, being willing just to let whatever is happening happen.
Yeah, letting all things be exactly as they are.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, thank you for adding that. Wow, everybody. Awesome call. So powerful. Thank you so much for everybody, for being here, for sharing your light. So I'll see you all next week. Thanks so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.